Hey, Tacoma, what's up? John Doherty here for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, always respectfully, ever striving to be fact-based and open to divergent perspectives, and always actively optimistic. Today we're going to be talking with Tim Smith. He's a community activist in South Tacoma, and much beyond that, too. He's a powerful voice for folks who often don't get heard in our societal rush to maximize profits, and who cares about the damage done along the way. Tim is conversant with the issues surrounding the proposed mega warehouse project in South Tacoma. In brief, the project proposes the construction of multiple warehouses covering hundreds of thousands of square feet over an aquifer that is important to Tacoma's water supply. The aquifer will become more important as climate change progresses. Tim understands the details, most of which are hard to get our arms around as laypersons. In my conversation with him today, I'll be working to understand with some detail what's going on with that project as it works its way through the permitting process, and for you to hear suggestions as to how you might be involved. So here we go. Tim Smith, welcome to Climate Talk.
It's great to be back, John.
Yeah, it is great to have you back, Tim. Third or fourth time here. You're helping us keep track of what's going on down there with South Tacoma with Bridge Industrial's proposal to build this major warehouse complex down there. Personally, as a layperson, I find this whole process to be somewhat convoluted and difficult to sort out. So I'm hoping that you'll help me and listeners sort out what the heck is going on down there in South Tacoma. So where are we right now, let's say approximately right now, in terms of an approval process for Bridge Industrial to start building those warehouses?
Well, John, you know that the most important thing about this is the involvement of everybody, both in South Tacoma and across the region. And so to get a current project status, sort of have to go like about April 21st is when all the public comment ended. And this was public comment related to the critical area permit and the water stream permit. The Bridge Industrial is going to have to get a variety of permits and do a variety of things. And many of those permits do not provide any sort of open window for public comment. So the one window we had, we took great advantage of it. And as a result, the city received a large number of wonderful comments. I'm not talking about comments that say, I don't want a warehouse. I'm talking about 100 to 200 to 300 page comments, deep analysis of all aspects of this development. And so from that, the city really is off schedule. They normally have 120 days from when the permit is submitted for them to make a decision about the permit, and we're well past that window. Fortunately, the comments being so well prepared and cogent are in the city's hands. They are working to retain or modify or withdraw the initial SEPA determination. The city engineering staff is looking at and working with the applicant's engineer to address stormwater management and compliance as it fits within the city's stormwater regulation. City staff are meeting with the State Department of Ecology regarding the stormwater permit and coordinating permit requirements and potential mitigation. The city's traffic engineering staff, they're reviewing the assumption and outcomes of the traffic impact analysis. And because of those, again, great comments, the applicant is now being required to submit additional studies, an air quality analysis, a noise study, a photometric study, which is light pollution, hydrogeological assessments for aquifer impacts, and design clarifications regarding electric vehicles, solar readiness. The developer is actually going to propose LEED certification. So we're really pushing the Bridge Industries to go full bore on this thing and rejecting or understanding all of the impacts. And I think the most significant thing out of all of it is that city staff is working with Tacoma Pierce County Health Department to do a review of the permit and also do a health impact assessment for both this and any further SEPA reviews. So I think more than anything, some people are very discouraged. I'm very encouraged that we have delayed the project by requiring the developer to do what they need to do to protect the highly impacted communities in South Tacoma.
Okay, so a couple quick things here. You said that some of the comments for that April 21 deadline were extensive, and you mentioned 300 pages. So who submits that kind of comment with that kind of depth of analysis?
We had some really wonderful organizations. We had Communities for a Healthy Bay, real stalwart for protecting our environment in Tacoma. 350 Tacoma, another nonprofit organization. Earthjustice.org, which is a nationwide group that has assisted small entities like ours and small communities like ours with environmental justice across the nation. They submitted a significant set of comments. We had citizens. I mean, we have people who, we have well-educated people who understand the environment and work through the plans and the proposals by bridge, line by line. And it's kind of stunning, and I'm very, very grateful that people took the time, and most importantly, that we had the time to do that kind of review. The city didn't, the city and the developer obviously didn't expect to encounter that, but we were very fortunate that we were able to get the additional time to make that happen. They're all available if somebody wants to review them. All of those comments are public and available on the city's website related to the Bridge BNSF Industrial Development. And I'll make sure I get you a link to that so people can go in and start looking at those if they choose to.
Okay, well, that'd be great. We'll put that in the program notes. And I think your point is well taken, because at one level, the concerns are easy to understand. But when you start getting into the weeds and finding out what the approval processes are and related, it does get pretty wonky. So somebody that really wants to understand it does have to dig into the documents. So we'll look forward to having those in the show notes. I wanted to ask you real quick, you used an acronym SEPA. What's SEPA? S-E-P-A, I think it is.
The SEPA is the State Environmental Project Act.
Okay.
Gotcha. What it is, it's a mirror of the national level NEPA, National Environmental Protection Act. So SEPA uses takes federal law and enhances it. And it is the process by which the state and any agency doing something within the state as a project allows for a review of the impacts of that project on the environment.
Okay, thanks for that. So I did pick up on your, degree of satisfaction with the way the process is going. And of course, as you say, it seemed like probably this whole permitting process was on the rails. Pretty ordinary kind of process, and it's become a non-ordinary process because of folks in South Tacoma in particular raising their voices. So let me ask you this question. With all of these studies that are being done, if Bridge Industrial manages to respond to those studies in a way that's satisfactory to the city of Tacoma, and they end up getting their permit, I'm asking you this as an individual, as an activist from South Tacoma, rather than an official answer, is, are you going to be happy if Bridge can meet all of the requirements of the permitting process and start building those warehouses?
No, not at all.
So if that happens...
And I can explain why real quick.
Sure.
Because I think that there are aspects of what is allowable under the law and under the city code that are out of date. So we would be allowing a development to go forward using science that's not the best science and using city code that hasn't been updated. And I believe that if the city code were updated, as we are working to do with the Groundwater Protection District, I don't believe this project would be permitted in the way that it may eventually be permitted.
Yeah. So one of the things that I didn't know until fairly recently is that when a permit is applied for, whatever the regulations are that exist at the moment that it's applied for are the ones that rule for the entire permitting process. And as you say, if there's scientific or other kind of discoveries after the fact that would possibly preclude that project, they still rely on the old policies and regulations.
Yes, they are, you have to realize they have to use existing code and critical area code. From the city's perspective, from the applicant's perspective, the project is legally vested in the current regulations. But with that noted, they still have to mitigate or make project modifications as they arise out of the public comment period. Part of the legal aspect of this, where we're not even at that stage yet, it's simply saying, okay, if the current regulations are not up to the national standard, then the current regulations are out of date. So you can't vest a project in an illegal code. That's kind of a very much of a legal thing. We're not at that stage yet, but I'd like to point out that this is not just something that's an observation from a layperson. The person that has most significantly driven this train about the current out-of-date standards in Washington State, which then trickle down to Tacoma, is the Western District Court of Washington. Judge Petchman is the federal judge who has ruled and is holding both the Department of Ecology and the EPA's feet to the fire and said they have abdicated their duties to update water quality standards as required by the Clean Water Act. She has basically and reinforced that as recently as the 2nd of June. So 31 December of 2001, she said, your water quality standards do not apply or are not current for the impact on aquatic creatures like salmon or orca. And as such, we're letting toxins into the waterways in our current regulations that are not allowable, that shouldn't be, that need to be updated. And she gave them 180 days, the EPA and Department of Ecology, to update its law. Well, they tried to push back on that and asked for further delay on the updating. And on the 2nd of June, she ruled again. She said, no, this is critical. This must be done. So again, there's a piece of this that is really a legal dance, I guess, and we may get to that point where we have to challenge whatever is decided with the permit process, and part of that challenge would be this existing ruling. If you can't say it's okay to discharge into Flint Creek, for example, certain contaminants because, oh, that's what the code says. Well, if your code is not up to date and you're not testing for the right things, or you're not limiting certain chemicals, then that, I believe, and I think that an attorney or someone who would fight this for us could make that case. It's kind of like, the closest thing I can think of is like the Fourth Amendment. And the Fourth Amendment deals with searches and seizures. So if I come in and I knock on the front door, or the police knock on the front door of my house, and they look in the window and they see, uh-oh, there's something in there that Mr. Smith shouldn't have, and they come inside. If they do a subsequent search of the house, they have no search warrant. So that's called the fruit of the poisonous tree. Some of that other evidence cannot be submitted or won't be submitted because the overlying search was illegal. I think in a very similar way, again, I'm not an attorney, but this is like some case law that's very current in Washington State right now that's saying for years now, Since at least 1992, think of all the permits that have been issued using out-of-date water quality standards. It's a significant legal case at some point. It may not, again, stop the current permit process, but I do believe when we get to court, there's some very solid ground for saying you can't give water permits if your water permit standards aren't current. I mean, it's just like I don't know how to, it's almost like pops your brain thinking. It's like saying, okay, I know aluminum wiring is dangerous, but the code says you can put it in your house. We all know aluminum wiring will catch fire, and that's why we don't put aluminum electrical wire in a house anymore.
Yep.
So dilemma. It's a real technical detail, but I think it's a very valid one.
No, that's a great example to help me understand what the issues are. So you've made reference a few times to courts or related. So if, let's say the permits are approved, but the South Tacoma community is not satisfied and they want to take legal action, what is the actual body in South Tacoma that would be bringing suit? Or am I looking at it the right way?
Well, we have a whole system that we have to follow after the city makes its decision. Now, it's very important to understand this decision is an administrative decision. It is not made by the city council. It's not even made by the planning commission. It's made by Peter Huffman, who's the head of the permits department. So when he makes his decision that says, fine, yep, Bridge can do this, there's no problem. We then have about a 14-day time period, and the first level we go to is the hearing examiner. The hearing examiner is a quasi-judicial position that works for the city of Tacoma to handle a variety of things, to include the land use decisions made by the city of Tacoma. So either either we could, either a person that has standing or a group that has standing could appeal the decision by the planning department to the hearing examiner. Say Mr. Huffman says there's a whole other series of requirements. You could issue the permit, but also put stipulations on bridge saying, well, the only way you can do this is have all electric vehicles, or all the surfaces have to be pervious so the water goes through the pavement, not run off. You could make those stipulations, and bridge could also go to the hearing examiner. So bridge could appeal the decision made by the planning department to the hearing examiner. So all parties could do this. So that's the first step. The hearing examiner then schedules a hearing and the parties present information. He takes testimony and then makes another ruling. So the hearing examiner would then make a ruling saying, no, let's just make a fictitious case. You could even make the ruling that says, no, the permit cannot be granted because of the fact that the water quality standards do not meet the Clean Water Act. I mean, he could make that kind of a call. That's kind of outside of the scope of the hearing examiner. His focus will have to be, was the decision made in light of the city code? And if that's all okay, it may still be wrong, but that's the final decision. Now, at that point, we would then move from the hearing examiner to Superior Court. That's when the first suit would have to happen to challenge the decision. Now, there's actually two hearing examiners involved. There's one for Tacoma, the city of Tacoma. And since the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department is involved, they will have to sign off on some of the water quality issues related to the Groundwater Protection District. We could also challenge and move to the Pierce County Hearing Examiner to challenge decisions made by the Health Department. That'd be two separate appeals.
So the hearing examiner the hearing examiner is an employee of the city of Tacoma then?
He works as he's relatively independent. I mean, it's not like working under anybody. It's a specific office. He works on a contract with the city as a staff and handles a variety of cases. I mean, I've taken at least 1, 2, 3 things through the hearing examiner over the years. So never successfully won any, but I've been through the process.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you're fairly confident that the hearing examiner is reasonably fair and impartial.
You know, John, we have so many parts of our government that we question it, and there's so many people who you know, have suspicions about things. I'm going to say I believe the person to be independent. I mean, I think we have to begin to restore our faith in parts of our system. I can't imagine that he wouldn't be. I mean, I'm just not going to – there's too many things to be suspicious about in this world. And I think I'm going to continue to go with the goodness in the heart of people. We can, in fact, use the system to make change. We can still do that. We've already done it. We're here. It's delayed. Yeah. We're working.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a warm fuzzy there in this difficult world we live in these days. Is okay, well, the hearing examiner, we believe, is probably honest and impartial. So I'm going to hang on to that here a little bit. Now, you mentioned earlier on that standing, of course, is a key issue in terms of going to court for sure. Is there a similar kind of standing issue in going before the hearing examiner?
Well, there is. And part of it relates to demonstrating a level of harm from the decision by the planning department. So part of the group and the entities that would move to the hearing examiner are persons who live in South Tacoma, or groups that are working to improve and draw attention to the health conditions and other issues related by the resulting project on South Tacoma. So when we're entering into an area of clear environmental injustice, a clear episodes of racial disparity that are demonstrated in South Tacoma from health impacts over the years, there are many people who are directly impacted by that. Some of them are impacted and have standing in a different way. They are persons who have bought a piece of property and they have a child with special needs. And so now they specifically picked their house because the area was able to support, you know, their family life and taking care of their loved ones. And now this development suddenly tosses that with increased noise, with increased pollution, with increased light pollution. So that's a direct impact on that person. And that's a clear example of someone that has standing in relationship to the project. And then
understood.
Those people would be able to approach the hearing examiner and make their case.
So one thing I'm not clear on, let's say that the permit is denied, or permits, whatever, is denied by the city of Tacoma. Is Bridge Industrial able to go to the hearing examiner at that point, or is that the end of the day?
Well, if it were denied, which would probably be the first time in the history of Tacoma, there are no provisions that I have found for denying a permit. So if it were denied, then yes, a Bridge could take that denial and go to the hearing examiner. Bridge could take whatever decisions made and go to the hearing. They could say, we're not going to pay for the mitigations to offsite traffic. We're not going to pay for new traffic signals that you want us to do. We're not going to pay for impervious surfaces. You know, that's going to change our overall bottom line. And they could challenge that to the city examiner, saying, this isn't really something that's in the city code. They're making this up as whatever. I don't want to give any ideas to Bridge, but
yeah.
Yes, they have a lot more money than we do. And I can tell you, if the decision's not favorable to them, I'm pretty sure they will be banging on the door of the hearing examiner.
Yeah, well, they have plenty of money. I just took a look. 2021, they made something like $6 billion worth of acquisitions. So they're a firm with significant financial resources. So just listening to this scenario that you paint out, it seems almost certain to me that it's going to end up in Superior Court. Do you think that's a fair thing to say?
I think that's a very fair thing to say. We're looking far. You know, I always look at like the close horizon, the near horizon, and the far horizon. And so when it comes specifically to the Bridge project, the far horizon does appear to be a Superior Court case.
Okay, well, that makes me wonder then. So my understanding, my perception is that most of the objection to this project is coming from South Tacoma, and with support of other organizations, of course, but it's coming from there. South Tacoma is not a wealthy neighborhood. And so how are the legal fees if this thing goes to Superior Court? Where's the money going to come for those legal fees?
Well, there's a point here where I think we have to, you know, this is know when to hold them, know when to fold them. I really don't want to comment on that. I think that those of us who have working this understand that there is a great deal of cost. And we know that Bridge has a big pile of money to put in this. They've already spent $153 million buying the property. I don't think they're going to just walk away. But, you know, we are the people, you know, I always think of Les Miserables, you know, we're tired. We're tired of being stepped on. We're tired of being put down. We're tired of the cancer rates. We're tired of the heart attack rates. And I think there are groups that are helping us right now, have been assisting us in a very fine way. And we will push back against it. If we're not going to stop racial injustice from environmental aspects in South Tacoma, I don't know where else we should. We have to do it, John. So I try to keep faith for everybody as everybody gets burdened down, but we're going to continue to push forward. And I think that people, we're spreading the message. It's not just South Tacoma. We have major groups that are both state and national seeing this issue and working in our favor. I mean, we have the Teamsters on our side. I mean, come on, it's going to be a very interesting summer and fall and into next year for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. That's a
good question, but we'll make it happen.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. And I was asking for conjecture on your part. So there's an organization or an entity called the South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District. What is that and how is it related to this permitting process, if it is?
Well, the hardest thing has been the conflation of the two major objects. The South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District has been in place since 1988. It's already part of the existing city code, and it protects the groundwater over one-fifth of the land surface of Tacoma. So the project, well before anybody knew about the warehouse, all the warehouses that are being built, was started as a way to say yes to something. It was a way to take all the groups that environmental groups that were beaten down and fighting the LNG case, methanol, all of those people that feel that they have lost their voice, to say, okay, we still have a chance. We have to update the groundwater protection district to protect the aquifer. And so in January and February, well before of 2021, well before Bridge ever walked up, before they ever bought this property, or they ever filed their permit, we started to use the city's legislative process to begin to update the code. Why? Because of what Judge Peshman said. The water standards aren't up to date. We have to protect the aquifer. As the rest of the nation boils right now, as cattle herds are dying in Kansas, we have a very unique piece of the environment in South Tacoma with our own aquifer and our own water supply. So we said, let's update the code. That's a complicated process. There's over 6,000 sources of potential contamination within the groundwater protection. We have to examine all of that. We haven't really done it well since 2008. So we wanted to develop best science, bring all the people to the table, and while everybody was there, we wanted to develop something new, a green economic zone. It was intended to be a total project, a fusion of updating code and looking to the future, to create like Ferris is doing, where within 15 minutes you could walk or ride anywhere in South Tacoma and get what you need. I mean, and that's full spectrum. We have to begin to think that way if we're going to survive as the climate change. So we started the process through the code amendment. It's an annual process. That's finally reached the city council, and the first vote was supposed to be the beginning of June. They continue to change it, modify it. So there's a lot of disappointment in my heart that we haven't already updated the code and aren't working on the green economic zone. The city seems to be delaying that, stretching that out. And in the midst of this, John, it was February of this year. Although the city had already been talking to Bridge all last summer, they never told us they were doing it, okay? Surprise, Mailer comes, they're doing what? The core piece of the groundwater protection district, core essence for the green economic zone, was the same space, the same wonderful space. What do we want to do out there? And it was February of this year that we found out about it. So now, instead of being able to say yes to something, instead of being able to bring in the business community and the thinkers and the developers for a green future, the fight against the warehouse has almost become conflated. And people that don't understand it believe that the groundwater protection district fight and the economic green zone fight are somehow against the warehouse. You see, they've turned our argument to be yes for something into, again, being against something. So it's very important for the members in your listening audience to understand there's sort of two different issues. The groundwater protection district needs updated. The green economic zone needs to go forward. Please don't think that those wonderful issues are in any way, shape, or form totally dictated by what happens with the Bridge Industries project. And it's a great time. If you want to get involved, please, now's the time. If you're like a retired hydrologist, retired water specialist, if you understand economic conditions, and you want to get involved to do something good, create something new that doesn't exist anywhere else on the West Coast, please reach out to us for that.
Yeah, I really like that approach. We tend to look at projects with the downside, you know, and environmental issues, we're looking at the downside. But as you point out, there's every potential to create good stuff like this economic green zone that you're talking about that would bring in good industry and provide good jobs and so on. So if Bridge Industrial gets their permit, is that the end of green economic zone?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think. Maybe I think there might be people who like give up, but it should not be in any way, shape, or form. That is one part. The green economic zone, in my view, covers everything that is addressed by the groundwater protection. So that's one-fifth of the city's land surface.
So what's next in terms of the South Tacoma Groundwater Protection District, the process that it's going through now? What's next?
Well, because they stretched the city planning staff, God bless them, they're wonderful people. We worked with them all through the last year. Because they felt constrained by money and personnel, they decided to stretch it out. So instead of, like at last night's city council meeting, there were three actual code amendments that are part of the annual review. Those are moving forward because the process is finished. The Groundwater Protection District is now stretched out where the city is starting to approve just the work plan. So we will begin for 2022 into 2023, actually working on updating the code for the groundwater. The second piece of that will then be developing whatever the economic green zone is. So that'll be like 2023 to 2024 timeframe. So the next 2 years. So right now what happened is, I wish that we'd have just passed the resolution. When the resolution first popped up in June 7th, I wish it would have passed. However, a lot of discussion from lay people has resulted in, look, if we're going to update the groundwater protection district, then we should place or have in place for a temporary period of time, not forever, a moratoria for all of the things that are protected or that are restricted now by the existing code, as well as a moratoria on any development over, say, 15,000 square feet. So we want to, it's only intended to try to prevent further restriction on aquifer infiltration and recharge. So that's an aspect of a moratoria that people want to put in place while we spend the next year updating the code. Now, the resolution hit the city. They decided to work on some other amendments that apply to another warehouse that's being built in Tacoma, in the South Tacoma area, the new cold storage facility. So staff wants to work that. If you understand this process, the council doesn't get involved until the very end. So the council trying to understand what's happening, and now some council members want to integrate the wording for the moratoria study, not to actually put one in place, but to study how to do it, into the work plan. And that should come up next Tuesday night for its first and only reading for the resolution. So we'll see how that works out and what they say.
Yeah, so I can imagine that. Well, let me approach this a little differently. I got a great deal of respect. I mean, how could I not have, for your grasp of what's going on, both technically, administratively, and politically too? And at the same time, I think you'll agree with me, it's really tough for a layperson to get their arms wrapped around what's going on here.
It's you know, the poor council, they're part-timers. You know, they basically act on what the city puts in front of them. Sorry. So, and I don't know how to fix it, but I think getting involved, especially with the annual amendment process earlier, would have brought them up to speed. I think there would have been no problem with having the wording stuck into the resolution right at the beginning. We've been talking to folks about it. But yes, you're right. It's very complicated. There are lots of moving parts. People don't understand that there's, you know, stovepipe, the permitting process is almost a self-generating creature. There's no real oversight from the council. The city manager who's supposed to manage the process, doesn't really have insight to the internals. We want development, okay? We want to help people with projects, not necessarily 2.5 million square foot projects, but that's how the city staff doing what they do best, work that project. And we have very little visibility on it, knowing that so much had been laid out in 2021 that nobody even understood was happening. Just the other day, people got very disgruntled or very discouraged because the bridge dropped on the June 13th. They dropped in their permit request for site development. That's all different from the critical area permit. There's a whole host of permits that bridge is going to have to drop and get approved by the city before they can even turn a spade of dirt. So when the TNT, I mean, okay, selectively dropped this article saying that they had put in the construction permits. And a lot of people were like, oh, it's what's our voice doesn't matter. It's a done deal. Well, it's not a done deal. They can't approve the construction permits until the whole critical area thing is done, until the SEPA process is finished. But Bridge has got, they're going to do everything they can to keep the citizens off balance and push through this development. It's part of the process that I hope the economic green zone and the updating the groundwater code should turn us from being negative and against things to being productive. It's a way to do something good because all of the developers want to just make money.
That's the way.
Use the flowery language of lead and we're going to have electric something and we'll put extra plants out. But in reality, that does not change the net impact of the development. It's not like it's to appease the planners, not to appease the planet.
Yeah, well, there's a great turn of phrase. So actually, to me, what you've pointed out is maybe even a little more complexity. And one of the things that I would worry about in a complex political and decision-making process is that makes it ripe for misinformation. Oh. And you alluded a little bit to Bridge kind of using their resources to influence the public. So are we seeing anything that I would consider something like propaganda, misinformation, greenwashing, that kind of thing coming from Bridge Industries yet?
I mean, the first, for me, and other people will view this differently because I think our understanding of what is green depends on one's experience. So the first thing that seemed to roll out after the initial public comments was LEED certification. A common way to say that we're going to use all of these earth-friendly practices, LED lights. I mean, we could just, everybody who knows what LEED is about understands that. And I think that is a good approach, but I think that more engagement with citizens is kind of also important. I don't know that just acquiring LEED certification, platinum status, or whatever it might be will do anything to mitigate the long-term health impacts that this place will create on top of what already exists. So I don't know how you can LEED certify, you know, infant mortality rates. I don't know how you can LEED certify the increased cancer rates or the asthma risks and all the other known health impacts that already exist in South Tacoma. This isn't something that will happen. This is currently happening, and you're going to add to that. I don't know how you can mitigate them. If they could, it should be a hospital and not a warehouse.
Yep, understood. Well, we're getting close to the end here. You've made reference a few times to citizen engagement. So is there a role for people who live outside of South Tacoma to play in this process?
Oh, absolutely. And we have worked, we're on the cusp of being part of a more of a national effort, is looking at our situation, what we're trying to do, to provide us maybe with folks who are working in college or working on their degree to get the subject matter experts as we start going through, because we're going to go through this code process. We're going to be updating the groundwater protection. And there are people already in Pierce County and at the state level and national level that are helping us understand what we needed. And now is the time. Now is the time for anybody that has those kinds of experiences or willing to commit. We need you. We need people in all aspects. You don't have to live in South Tacoma to help us with social media. You don't have to live in South Tacoma to write a comment. You don't have to live in South Tacoma to be part of the types of meetings that'll be sort of hybrid with the Planning Commission. So we need that. I mean, trying to find a hydrologist that'll help us, trying to find, you know, someone that understands pervious surface, you know, pavement expert. In a way, it's hard. I mean, working this day and night for over a year now, and others have, like Heidi Steve from the Neighborhood Council is like, she's the point person. And I got to tell you, she doesn't stop. She's working day in and day out, running down every lead and every hope. So we need people. We need, because some of us are getting tired and we need better experts to help us out. So there's plenty of opportunity for people to get in a positive way, not yelling at the council, or we don't need to do that yet. We need to be smarter than everybody else. We could make this happen. It should be a stellar example of what great people can
do. Yeah, well, that's exceedingly well put. And so I am thinking that you've mentioned that this kind of project goes beyond merely just local politics here. You know, what is the impact of citizens taking this kind of action on a broader scale? And I'm just thinking of the possibility historically, how we've made our decisions is, okay, well, where are the bucks? I mean, if somebody's going to make a lot more money, then usually they get the go-ahead regardless of what the impact is on the environment or the communities and so on. And that paradigm has gotten us to where we are now, which is not a good place. So I'm kind of hopeful that you guys might be somewhat of leaders in terms of creating this citizen engagement, citizen pushback, and that agencies of the government start paying more attention to things other than just where are the bucks in this thing. So I got to say, I have got a great deal of admiration for you and the other folks there in South Tacoma for the work you're doing.
One key point about that is the city, one reason they've delayed on the groundwater update and stakes was always because, well, it's a big project. We don't have people. We don't have money. Where are the resources? It's just irritating to me that there's so much federal money that has been put out as part of both the Build Back Better plan as well as environmental money to improve water supply, water systems. They just put out $1 billion from the EPA for communities that are impacted by PFAS, which South Tacoma is, which Tacoma is. So there is a lot of federal money sitting on the shelf. And there's a way for our legislators locally, the people who are in contact with our legislators, if you're friends with Marilyn Strickland, if you're friends with Adam Smith, write him and tell him, look, this is a critical thing. We should be working those funds and those resources right now so that the city could then leverage and have the right kind of smart people to help create something that doesn't exist. Why does it have to be an industrial park? Why can't we create an economic green zone to make, instead of being so protective, to be performance-based? We want someone to come in that can be totally closed-loop cycle on the production of everything, their own energy, their own products. I mean, that seems to me to be fascinatingly forward-thinking and smart for the planet, smart for Washington State, smart for Pierce County, and smart for Tacoma. I mean, all the mechanisms are in place. Somebody just has to pull the string on it. It has the power.
What a great invitation for action, because you've tossed out something there that people can really get their teeth into. This is not wishy-washy. It's not shouting at the city council. It's hard work done by intelligent, thoughtful people. Well, we are at the end here, Tim. There's more to be talked about. This is going to be going on. I know. I appreciate you spending the time with us. Anything you got for us as we finish up here?
Oh, don't give up hope. You know, I know there's a lot of folks worried that the planet is dying and all of these things are, in fact, happening. But we must begin to work. We must begin to think. We must just stop surrendering to the powers that want to destroy the planet. Be part of the powers that are going to save them. And water is life, and that's where this is all started from, and that's where it will. Thank you so much, John, and thank you to all the people at Tacoma that have written in, signed petitions, that have done it. Please don't give up. We're in the heart of the summer. This is when the industry likes to move because everyone's on vacation, out of town. Please stay in touch with us on Twitter, on Facebook, and we'll be putting updates. And I'll try to make sure John has those links available that you can go to after when this broadcast gets posted. And thanks, John, for you engaging us all the time. I appreciate it so very, very much.
Yeah, well, I love talking with you, Tim. I love the straight talk. And thanks for being with us. Talk to you again here soon.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Thanks so much to community activist Tim Smith for not only helping us to understand the details of the proposed warehouse project, but more specifically for the energy and optimism he brings to the work that he gives to his community. Be sure to see the show notes at ccltacoma.org. That's ccltacoma.org for the references that Tim made during our conversation. You can contact me at john@ccltacoma.org for comments on this program or to make suggestions for future programs. The CCL part is for Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. Check it out. A bunch of good people, join up or find another organization if you aren't already attached to join your voice with others. This program, along with all other locally produced Radio Tacoma programs, can be found on the KTAH website under programming. So until we talk again, remember, always live like the mountain is out. Take care now.